Let us believe in God and not reject the belief. And let us be thankful and grateful. Do not be bankrupt and collapse. And let us be habituated into showing gratitude. And let this be our character. And rejoice in believing in God. Let us be marked by piety. And in reverent fear, worship God. It admonishes us today. And starting today, we will share the book of Hebrews chapter 13. He speaks of the manner in which how we should worship and what he will be pleased with. It is the last chapter and it also concludes the book of Hebrews. And regarding the worship, it teaches us the propriety and the decorum therein attached as the new citizens compared to the old worship. It is the worship that is expressed in our way of life and in this community together with the other fellow Christians. And regarding that, it also teaches us. And today, the former part of the book, the how we are to lead a life of faith in our way of life. The devotees of the Old Covenant, they will congregate at the temple and worship God. Worship and the life were separate. Life and worship were separate. And the worship, the Old Covenant people worshipped were like this. But us, the new children, new creatures in Jesus Christ, our lives and our worship, there's no distinction in between. They are meshed together, and in our way of life, you worship God and piously and as holy devotees. We convene at the parish and we worship God, and we embody this by leading a holy life in our daily lives. In today's main text, among many things, it teaches us on one component of it, the fellowship love, the brotherly and sisterly love. This is the righteous love, and in our lives, this is how you radiate the glories of God. The love of God, loving God, is neighborly love, the fellowship love, and this is how they are connected. They are the same and one and the same. And you are to carry out the love of God in real life, in your daily lives. When you say you love God, you testify and you substantiate your expression of God to love to God to your neighbors. The love of your brothers and love to your brothers. Verse 1, let us read aloud together. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. In Hellenic pronunciation, Philadelphia. It's a city in the east side of the United States. Philos, Adelphos. If you compound the two words, merge them, it's called Philadelphia. And loving your brothers, the etymological meaning of the word. Brother, when we are speaking of this word here, in Jesus Christ, the new creation in Jesus Christ, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again. Hello? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again. You are reborn. Are you reborn as a Caribbean? No. For as the children of God, the citizens of the heavenly kingdom, as the spiritual Israelites, we are born again. God becomes our Father, and we become His child and His children. And as His children, we are born again. Book of Ephesians 2:19, it says that we are His family, a member of His family. As His family member, we are born again. In Book of Ephesians, we belong to His kingdom, a kingdom that we are to inherit, and we are the descendants of this heavenly kingdom, and we are born again as this and with the stature in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we become this holy being and reestablished in Christ Jesus, this precious and glorious beings that is us. And look in all directions, and they're all like this and are this. Together in Jesus Christ, we are born again. Together with your fellow Christians, we are all born again. They are all precious beings. When you treat each other respectfully and preciously, treat them. I pray in His name. Let us carry this out at this hour. Let us look in all directions and say hi to one another. I had no idea who you were. You are a precious being. Let us say this to each other. Look in all directions. I had no idea who you were. You are such a precious being, I tell you. And to another person sitting on the other side, I deem you as precious. Everyone worshiping God together with you right now. They all believe in Jesus Christ with you. And together, all of us, we are born again. We have all become His children together. And we are siblings now. We must love each other. And the first aim of our love are your fellow Christians sitting next to you. In Philadelphia, they are compressed together. Philadelphia. The other false, if you compress that word, ah means one, Delphos means the womb of a mother, and from one womb of a mother, there are other false brothers. This is what it means. From one womb, we were all born together. Jesus Christ, since the time of history, He was the Word of God, and that Word embodied the flesh and came to us, and through the womb of Maria was born, and we are the same. And you, intercessor Jesus Christ, when you believe in Him as the Spirit, we are born again. In Holy Spirit, we were born again. Me, you, all of us, we were born again in Jesus Christ. And together in Holy Spirit, we have received this new life. And all of us, we are Adephos. We are the brothers and sisters, the spiritual brothers and sisters. That is what we are, the eternal heavenly kingdom. We will eternally be siblings. We had this relationship in the past. Hello? We were once brothers and sisters. Let us say this once again. And when you greet each other again, say, I did not know who you were, my brother, my sister. Say this to each other, please, at this minute. I had no idea who you were. This is what we were in the past. In one Holy Spirit, we were born again Christians. And as brothers and sisters, we are the aim of each other's love. And in Holy Spirit, as spiritual brothers and sisters, and spiritually in our daily lives, we have to glorify God by loving each other. And this is the worship that God will be pleased with. If this is a case, and if you are to do this, how should you must love your brothers and sisters? It teaches us to initiate the love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Firstly, love each other. Firstly, initiate the greetings. And when you see them on the elevator, say hi first and pray for them first. Initiate the love. And disciple John tells us, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth, with sincerity, with tenderly loved words. Love them, not just with words and speech, but by carrying out the love in action. Oh, hungry fellow Christian, you treat them with food and not just with words, but if they are cold, you give them a coat to warm themselves. By carrying out the love in the flesh, you express the true form of love. And when you carry out the love in real life, in action, this is the worship that God will be pleased with. And it is the upright posture of faith and worship. And in today's main text, Book of Hebrews, as you love your brother, it's not episodic love, but you continually love him. Love each other. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, not just here and there when you feel like it, but continually love each other. In your heart, not just because you are inspired and based on your feelings, and even though you don't feel the feelings inside you, all the time you love each other. When you lead a life of faith, you don't have to be inspired by your feelings. Do not rely on your feelings. Our life of faith is not based on your feelings. You base it on the Word of God. You do not believe in your feelings. You believe in the Word. Even though you do not have the inspiration, you regardless love and carry out the love in His name. And you must continually love. This is the type of worship that God will accept. The life of faith embodied in your real life and your daily lives. And secondly, and who is the aim of your love? It is characterized as guest. Verse 2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. In a different characterization of this, itinerant, a traveler, you could say. It can be related to the, it's in the same sense as the brothers, from the same womb. But guest is a different concept. They are strangers, not from the same womb. Corrections. But regardless, they are still the aim of our love. Travelers and the itinerants and guests. Firstly, people external to the church. This is what is referring to a brother in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ. They have been born again. Conversely, they are not the devotees. They are external to the church. But you must extend your love to them as well, to the non-believers. Hebrews had to hide out in the catacombs to uphold the word. They could not abandon the faith. They had abandoned their livelihoods to uphold the word in the catacombs. And upon being found, they would be heinously, with utmost cruelty, die at the hands of the Romans. Who killed them? Murdered them. People extrinsic to the church had murdered them. The travelers, the guests, people extrinsic to the church, the persecutors, our brothers and sisters in the most heinous ways had killed our brothers and sisters. They were our enemies, but the scribe of Hebrew tells us, extend your love to them as well. This is hard to carry out, extremely hard to carry out, yes. But Jesus Christ also has the same things in, but I tell you, Book of Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who will persecute you. How? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who is this enemy? People who persecute you. Jesus says unto us, they persecute you, people who kill you. But for them, you must pray. Continually, he tells us, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will get you? What you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. In the same way, God extends His love to you, not only to your brothers, you show your love, but go beyond that and even love your enemies who persecute you. In the same way, God loves us. How did He love us? When we were sinners, for us, Jesus Christ had died for us, and He had affirmed His love for us by sacrificing His Son. When did He love us? When we were sinners, when we were His enemies, He expressed His love. When we had pierced Jesus Christ and had persecuted Him and killed Him. But for us, by dying at our hands, on our behalf, He had died for our sins. And to this extent, He had expressed His love when He was on the cross. When His waist was pierced by a spear, He had prayed for us, even in that situation. He had said to us, to His Father, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." This is what He had uttered for us. He had prayed for us with His last breath. And in this manner, like Jesus Christ, think about this rich love. And in that way, we must pray for others, for their souls. This is hard. Indeed, it is. They hurt us. You want to avenge and hurt them too. And when they make you cry, you also want to hurt them. And when they cut you off while you're driving, you want to cut them off too. This is our innate character and temperament. But in Jesus Christ, in believing in the new intercessor, our Savior, as His children, as His devotees, unlike the past, we must love our enemies and continually pray for them. And when you love your enemies, when you pray for the enemies in our daily life, this is the upright posture of faith and worship. And secondly, the guest, the traveler, people external to the church, but pilgrims, they are perceived in this way too. It might be more right to perceive them as the pilgrim, a guest when they come. They are the travelers of faith and word. And Paul the Apostle had traveled here and there and assiduously had spread the word. He did not maintain his stay in one church, but he traveled around and diligently traveled around. And the Old New Testament, like this, tells us of the travelers that had traveled in the name of the Word and God. And to treat them, we need to be cognizant of their deeds and do not forget. Book of Romans, doesn't just tell us to not forget, but assert yourselves and expend your energy. And even though you are not in a good financial situation, but do your utmost to treat them with respect and hospitality. How must you accommodate them? Provide them with a place to stay and their fatigued bodies. Let them rest and have them be reinvigorated by your accommodations. And the necessities, we must equip them with it so that they can continue their travels. In the name of the Lord, they deserve this treatment. And when you do this, it's a worship that God will be pleased with and accept, especially when you treat the guests. There's a word that is conveyed to us to this effect. Continue to remember those in prison. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. They thought that they were accommodating a person, but in reality, that person was an angel, Abraham. Everyone thought that it was a guest, but the guest turned out to be an angel embodying the human flesh. Unknowingly, he had accommodated an angel, not just angels, but there were three people. Along with them, two were angels. The other one was God. Abraham thought that he was treating an average person, but in reality, it was God. People who travel in the name of the Lord, when you treat them as a guest, it's accentuating the fact that the people you are accommodating, the guests, that they represent God. When you accommodate the guests, it pleases God, and a conduit of God's grace and blessings if you do this. Elisha, to testify to the word, traveled around and during his pilgrimage, a woman, Shulamite, had provided accommodation for him and provided him with a good place to stay and gave him warm food. And Elisha starts to ponder on the generous accommodations and wanted to do something for her and realized that she was infertile and couldn't have children. What was the result of his prayers? God had gifted her with a son and blessed her. Elisha pondered greatly for the woman that had provided him with a warm hospitality, and he prayed on her behalf. And please know that by accommodating the travelers in the name of the Lord, you could be accommodating God, and that through it, you can be blessed by God. God greatly rejoices in you accommodating for the travelers and guests. Guests are the people that travels around to testify to the word, and it is teaching us that travelers are the evangelizers, traveling, and from overseas, like travelers, people actively travel to spread the word. To spread the word, they leave their countries and to foreign countries and with the local people. They lead their lives, but they will never be a local person. They will always be a stranger. And it feels like when they return to Korea, it feels like they are at home, but they do not belong anywhere, as they are always traveling. They have no real home or place of permanent domicility. And why do they do this? Because of the gospel. And because of the gospel, you become a traveler and you become lonely and you humble yourselves. And by being loyal to the word, to these travelers, when they come to you, we must accommodate them well. For the gospel, people who are loyal and uphold the word, we must treat them well, and by doing, God will requite your actions and your love, the love that you show to the travelers, something that is incomparably greater than what you have done to the guests and the travelers. It tells us, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Matthew 25:34-40. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Jesus Christ is up in heaven right now. But when you accommodate a traveler, he will perceive that as you accommodating Jesus. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. People who have humbled themselves for the word, those who give them even a cup of water will not lose the reward that awaits that person. For the word, when you are loyal, people who are loyal to the word and who uphold the word and who travels around, you must accommodate them, and even a small gift to them will be compensated for far greater by God. Our church met every week during the second sermon. RuPaul pastor is not here present today, but he is here in Korea and representing me. He is at the Gwanghwamun praying for us, and he transits twice on a subway to get to the church. And Daniel translates for him in English to him. And upon completing the sermons session, the other parishioners treat him with a nice cup of coffee and interact with them, and he stays in one of our facilities, and we do what we can to accommodate for him. And they collect that money as weather is getting cold and buy him a duck leather jacket for him, duck fur jacket to him. I was very thankful for that. Like this, with love, you have to accommodate for the travelers and treat them preciously. This is the embodiment of worshiping God. And lastly, the aim of our brotherly love continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And this narrative here, this represents the livelihood the Hebrews had led during the time of the Great Persecution. They were persecuted greatly, and they endured the situation, but to uphold the word. In upholding the word, invariably there is persecution. We are comfortably worshiping God, and we all have hardships, yes, but historically, there has been no precedence like this. It's incomparable. We are in a very luxurious environment. Historically, this was non-existent. We're comfortably worshiping God. There was never a time in the history of Christianity this had never happened. Even now, above the 38th parallel, you cannot freely worship God. Every time you worship God, you are subjecting your life. You could very well die from the worship. The scriptures tell us, in the world, you will be persecuted. It's not that you might get persecuted. You will invariably be persecuted. Book of Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you must encounter many hardships and persecution. How do you enter heaven? you enter the heavenly gates by believing in Jesus Christ, but in between, you will encounter many hardships. Book of Thessalonians 1:6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. As you receive the word, and to the point of receiving the word, you receive many hardships. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 34:19. Yahweh our God, he will uplift us. From where? From the hardships, from the troubles. While you believe in Jesus Christ, you are to expect hardships. It's a good act that you are carrying out in His name, and there is persecution when you carry out the good act. Believing in Jesus equates to facing hardship. Regardless, you have to uphold the word. In the midst of this great hardship, it admonishes us. In verse 3, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering for them with the same yearning and the same desperateness. Pray for them. In North Korea, there is an evil regime. People are in the grips of this evil dominion, and they aim and they yearn to enter the heavenly kingdom. And with this hope, they lead a life of faith, and they are our brothers, and right on top of the 38th parallel, but the livelihoods are dramatically different. We are not receiving any persecutions and hardships, and leisurely worshiping God. There is an objective to this, and why God is allowing us to comfortably worship Him. Comfortably praying and believing in Jesus Christ, that's not all of it. You can freely pray, but in the midst of this comfortable environment, we must pray for them. This is our mission. This is why we have been allowed and granted with this special privilege, life of comfort. We must use this comfort to pray desperately for our brothers and sisters up in North Korea, and so that the evil regime will expeditiously collapse to the ground. To help the North Koreans, our fellow brothers, you sending them money and material things could be an act in futile. What we need to pray for is for the regime to collapse. And Jesus Christ prayed that He will be the King of all, and that we will be re-erected as the powerful nation of God, and so that we will be a great nation of spreading the gospel. We all need to pray for this, and this is why we have been granted with this life. In the Old Testament period, they would congregate in a established, designated area. Life of worship and the life of daily lives were different, but as the New Testament's people who have received a new promise from God, it has taught us a far greater way of life. The worship must be embodied in your way of life, and through your way of life, you radiate the word of God. And first action item is to love your brothers and sisters. In Jesus Christ, in the same Holy Spirit, we were born again. People who are sitting next to you, they are all brothers and sisters from the same womb. Let us feverishly love them, initiate the love, and carry out the love, and ceaselessly love them, and guests and people who are external to the faith and outside the church, let us love them, and for their souls, for their redemption, let us pray. And for those who laboriously travel around to spread the word, the evangelizers, let us pray for them. And people who are in prison, due to faith. Let us be mindful of their hardships and pray for them. And this is what we can do to glorify God's word by praying for those who are suffering in the name of the Lord. And this is the way of life, a bright life for the pious devotees. Let us pray.